This is a HeadGum Podcast.
Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Byte Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Hello, everyone. Before this absolutely incredible, mind-blowing episode starts, I would like to just let you know that I'm going to be performing at the Soho Theatre in London, February 16th, 17th, and 18th. Please buy tickets. You can Google my name in Soho Theatre. I can also post it on my Instagram, which I will continue doing again today and every day after that. And then if you're not in London and you're like, "Greta, when can I see you another time?" Well, guess what? I'm going to be in DC performing March 3rd and 4th as part of the Kennedy Center Cabaret and Comedy Festival. I am very excited for this. DC is my hometown. It's going to be very exciting and fun. And then you're like, "But I'm not in DC." Well, guess what? If you're in LA, I'm going to be performing at the Elysian Theater the last three Tuesdays of March. Okay, that's complicated, but I will post about it. I will post about it, but I just want you to know, I just want you to say, like, "Oh, Elysian Theater, Greta's going to be there." And then you're like, "But I'm not in LA." Well, don't worry. I'm going to be back on the East Coast in April, but no one plans that far in advance. So I will do another one of these, the closer we get. But I will be at the Bell House in New York in April, the second weekend of April. And then I will be back in D.C. April 14th and 15th. And I'll be at the Bell House on April 7th, I believe. That could be a lie. So I'll look that up for sure. Okay, thank you. I'm expressing with my full capabilities, and now I'm living in correctional facilities. Because some don't agree with how I do this. I get straight and meditate like a Buddhist. I'm dropping flavor. My behavior is hereditary, but my technique is very necessary. Blame it on Ice Cube because he said it gets funky when you got a subject and a predicate. Add it on a dope beat, and it'll make you think some suckers just tickle me pink to my stomach because they don't flow like this one. And you know what? I won't hesitate to diss one. That's my spoken word rendition.
I love it.
So good.
That was great.
Of Express Yourself by NWA.
Mm-hmm.
The year is 1990. Okay, and we are listening to NWA in the year 1990. And to get us in the mood for this really, 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 really exciting episode, which I really can't wait for you guys to listen to, I'm going to list the top box office hits from 1990. Okay, which honestly, these movies really bang. First and foremost, Edward Scissorhands.
Mm-hmm.
A movie that I watched a few weeks ago. Excellent film.
Sure.
Love it. Fabulous movie. Dances with Wolves.
Incredible.
Stunning picture. There's no way. Absolute must watch. Misery.
Mm-hmm. Unreal.
Will change your life.
Great horror movie.
Of course we have Pretty Woman.
Yeah.
I mean, how could we not have Pretty Woman? We have Child's Play 2.
Ooh.
The Chucky film.
Chucky, which has come back.
And huge.
Chucky is back. Chucky's in love.
Chucky will never go away.
No, Chucky is like the thing you try and throw away, but you can't get it. It's a little doll that's like a horror.
Yeah. Do you not? You know Chucky.
I know what Chucky is.
She knows what Chucky is.
I'm not a horror person.
Okay,
I mean,
that's
different
fine.
When you put the word cheeses behind it.
Yeah. Are you
a
terrifying?
That's a whole other type of terrifying.
Yeah, I had a sixth birthday at a Chuck E. Cheese, and let me tell you.
Yeah.
Jacob's Ladder.
That is...
Okay.
I will not let you watch that.
It's absolutely awful.
Terrifying. Like, terrifying.
I'm going to end with these last three because I do think they're really important. Mm-hmm. One is Mermaids, which I think is a must watch.
Sure.
Because, you know, we have to do watch intake everything with Cher.
That was like, hey, we did Splash. What other types of these movies can we do? And then boom, that came out.
Mm-hmm. House Party.
Incredible.
Which they're doing a remake of.
I know.
They, you know, they remake everything.
Boom, play. Not yes. And. Boom, mm-hmm. Play. Mm. Those are our guys.
House Party. I was going to say Child's Play. House Party. Uh-huh. Excellent film. And I'm going to end on Cry Baby. Which is, I'm a big John Waters head.
Yeah. Cry Baby was, that wasn't Johnny Depp too. No, That was Johnny
mm-hmm.
Depp. Yeah.
Yeah.
He was like a greaser guy yep. who was like a.
Had that little tear.
Like a hunk of a mm-hmm. guy. And he was yeah. very misunderstood.
Yep.
Yeah.
John yep.
Waters, man.
Legend.
So you know, because you're like, oh, that's who John, you're like, whoever's in John Waters movies, you're like, oh, that's who he wanted to bang.
Yeah.
You know, you're like, okay, so 100%. This is the time when he wanted to have sex with Johnny Depp. Okay, I get it.
So where were we when Cry Baby was out? Where were we when we were listening to NWA? We were in St. Louis, Missouri. Mm-hmm. And we are Randy Sklar.
Hi.
And I am freaking out mm-hmm. because we are joined today. You're thinking, oh, we have one Sklar brother.
Where's the other?
Jason.
And Jason could not make it today, but that's okay.
It is okay.
Because sometimes when you know what they say, when one door closes, another door opens.
Or a window opens.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. A huge window opened huge, for us on Senior Superlatives. Because we have your daughter, Daisy Sklar.
She was Hello. A high school senior.
Yes. She was a high school senior. We have a real life high schooler on the show.
In the flesh.
So Jay couldn't do it. He tried every which way to do this today. We're recording this on a holiday. So it was yeah. difficult because his kids are out of school and he has to watch them because his wife is working. And so in the last minute, I said, Daisy, do you want to come and just watch me do this podcast? And she said, yes.
And, yeah. and here we are.
This is the best advice I can give her in this moment. You guys are helping me with this moment, which is show up. You never know what's going to happen.
You never know.
On mic.
You know, and then it's fun.
Yeah.
And then here we are. And look at what you did on MLK Day.
I know. I made it happen.
You did make it happen. Thanks, kiddo.
Of course.
Okay, so before, because I'm going to, you know, I need to know what was going on with you in high school. I need you to take me back there. Yeah. It's 1986 to 1990.
Yep.
What was the vibe? You also have a twin.
Right.
So, like, that's a whole other situation.
Crazy.
And honestly, I'm happy that I just get your POV on that.
Yeah, you can bring him back and maybe he'll bring one
exactly.
of his kids. We lived in a town that was part of St. Louis called Crèvecœur.
Crèvecœur.
Which is a mispronunciation. It's so St. Louis to mispronunciate a French term, Crèvecœur, which means broken heart. And the reason it's, how do I know it means broken heart? And how do I know this story about a Native American young woman who was in love? This is like a Romeo and Juliet story. Was in love with a young man, with a white man. And they couldn't be together for the various reasons. And she jumped off of a cliff in our area, which if you know St. Louis, it's like so flat.
Yeah, I'm I was
like,
going to say, where? Cliff she, where?
Right? She like jumped off and got like a high ankle sprain. But apparently she jumped off and died. And then he died of a broken heart after that. And so they called it Crèvecœur. That was the area of where we were. And that whole story was on the wall of the McDonald's. So that's where we read that. So this tells you everything you need. So we went to a public high school that was kind of dirt baggy, like that I was describing. Like, I to put it this way, our school colors were acid and wash. No, we were the Parkway North Vikings, and St. Louis has like a distinct accent, right? You're like Highway Farty Far. We'll see you out on Highway Farty Far. Parkway North. Our mom's like best friend who lived two doors down with us. Aunt Linda.
We love Aunt Linda.
We love Aunt Linda. She's like, she's hilarious, but she's got the thickest St. Louis accent ever. And she was like, you know, she had a dog named Spencer, and we had his brother, yeah. Skippy.
Skippy and Spencer.
And he was like, Skippy would always torment Spencer, and he did. He put him
in the corner for five months.
Spencer put him in the corner for five months. So we went to Parkway North. I mean, to put more context in it, like our school had a smoking lounge.
Love that.
Of course.
Not for the staff.
No, for you
for
guys.
For the kids.
Were like, you a cigarette smoker?
No, I was not. She's not either.
No.
Right? But like, imagine a bunch of kids who are like, you know, stressed out. Like, yeah, I got to climb the rope in gym.
It's so crazy. I mean, that was me like in an alley behind my high school. But to do that at high school.
A district approved lounge for kids just to smoke in.
Oh, my God.
I'm like, I know she shouldn't be smoking because she's pregnant.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I thought that those went away in like the 70s. I remember my mom and dad telling me. They had smoking lounges. And I guess, no, my dad graduated in high school in the early 60s.
Wow.
So
okay.
They certainly had smoking lounges then. But
sure. And so, everybody smoked back then. But that gives you the context of where we were. So we had, like, the smart kids at our school were really smart. We had, and kind of had a little bit of a chip on our shoulder about, like, I put myself in there. Do you see how I, on our shoulder?
We had a chip on our shoulder. The smart kids, you know, who are up here.
We had a chip on our shoulder.
Yeah.
That, like, we could get into good schools just like the, you know, private schools in St. Louis could too. So, like, they were really high achieving people. And, like, we sent a girl to Harvard and we sent a boy to Princeton.
Right.
And, you know, people got into all these, like, incredible schools at the top of our class. You know, there were a lot of people who were, like, where are you going next year? Oh, you're just going to be hanging out outside of the 7-Eleven over there
right.
on Fifi Road?
That's where I'm going.
Oh, is that where you're going?
Yeah.
You got a full scholarship.
I did. Full ride.
Full ride to the 7-Eleven. You and Scott Denner, you're going to be popping some wheelies
they
on
don't
your
have
own.
A plaque there, though.
They do not.
They don't. You got, that's your job.
That's my senior gift.
Yeah.
I love Parkway. Jay and I got into the Parkway. I'm very proud of this. The Parkway School District Hall of Fame.
Wow.
So
for what?
Just... For what? For being who we are. This happened like maybe 6 years ago.
You're saying recently. I thought you meant in high school you got into the Hall of Fame.
No, I wish it was that. No,
imagine me now being like, for what?
For what?
For what? What did you do?
It's not deserved.
No, I like go on my high school's Wikipedia and constantly try and edit myself in and it like rejects me out all the time.
I'm sorry that's happening. Well, I love that so the song, should we talk about the song?
Let's talk about the song.
So the song... I love that. So the song is Express Yourself is probably the one song on that NWA or any NWA album that could get radio play because it wasn't
filled.
It wasn't dropping N-bombs and dropping this and that. But we, as Jewish kids in the suburbs of St. Louis, we were like, I love this album.
Mm-hmm.
I can't even tell you how much, that's how good the music was.
Right.
I'm like, I can't relate to any of this, but I love it so much. And we would like, we used to play it all the time. And the crazy thing is that is how great NWA was. That is how great those guys were, is that they were like, and it teaches you a great lesson later in life, which is a lesson I'm trying to teach her, which is do the thing that's very specific to you that you know about really well and really put that out there, and it will relate to somebody somehow. It does. They don't have to have the exact same experience that you had, but it'll relate to someone, and that's a great mm-hmm. example of it.
What a good parent.
Yeah. Oh, it's great. It's great.
Do you feel like, because you're, I have my questions are too, I have too many questions in my mind.
Let's get into all of them. Yeah. I'll try and help you.
Do you feel like, because when you were in high school, clearly there was no cell phones. There were no internet. There was no like connectivity mm-hmm. like that. Mm-hmm. And you kind of got to live in this pocket of your own reality, you know?
Amazing.
And I think that I feel very lucky because I am at the very end. I also didn't have social media in high school.
Yeah.
And I'm probably the last age range where that was a thing.
Yeah.
Do you feel, because I feel this way now as like a full-on embarrassing adult, that like sometimes when I go online, I'm like, how do I differentiate myself and how do I navigate this?
Yeah.
And like it becomes like this overwhelming feeling. Do you feel that it's like harder to commit to like finding your thing or your voice or whatever when you're inundated with all this information all the time?
It's really difficult. It's really crazy and weird. And sometimes I find myself just doom scrolling. And then I have to stop myself and say, wait, I'm not, this is not happening right now. I can't do this right now. And I have a lot of friends who don't like to be on their phones and who don't like to be connected to that. And so I just try and take time with them and say, hey, we're going to hang out and it's not going to be about social media and it's not going to be about being on our phones. We're just going to do something fun. And I have a lot of friends who, I have a friend who just got a flip phone who was like, hey.
Flip phone. Like a Nokia Pebble.
Okay. I love that.
I'm like, what are you on a construction site in 2003? What's happening right now?
I always wanted one of those yellow Nextel like walkies.
I'm telling you. Your friend.
I have a friend who had a flip phone and then who was just telling me about it on the phone. And then I had a like on the flip calling me and was like, hey, I got a flip phone. And then I had a friend in class and they were like, hey, by the way, if you want to carpool, just don't text me. Can you just call me? Cause I won't get the text. I've got a flip phone now. And I was like, oh, God, okay.
So, but cool. It's funny because I have two kids in high school.
Right.
So Days is a senior. And then I have Georgia who's
Georgia.
Aunt Linda's like, how's Georgia doing?
And how's Georgia?
I just want her to say it all the time. I'm like, Daisy's good. And then do you want to know about anyone else, Aunt Linda? Yeah. She's like, how's Georgia? I was like, she's been in the corner for 5 months. Georgia is 15. She's a sophomore. And she is – it's what's interesting about Daisy, and we always say this about her. I always say this about you, and I've said this to you, is that I feel like she's a timeless kid. Like, she could have been a kid when I was –
Well, I had this feeling aesthetically.
Yeah.
Like, I'm looking
at
you.
I've got my Grateful Dead shirt on.
And I feel like I wore this outfit in high school.
Right.
Yeah.
Like, in a
good
way.
She just threw this on, and I'm like, she's just – but her personality and who she is.
I border, like – I wear my mom and dad's old band shirts, and then I also sometimes look like a Wes Anderson character, and that's kind of my – those are my looks.
I love knowing that.
Yeah.
I mean, you know that about yourself.
Yes. I have that, you know – like, I host dinner parties. That's my new thing with my friends. And they're often themed and were...
What was the most recent theme?
Mythical creature. And it's...
Come dress
the, it's the coolest thing when... So, it was cool when I planned it. I was like, everyone come as a mythical creature. But then it was even cooler when all of my friends showed up as mythical creatures, full out.
But the coolest thing she did there was, you know, like, she had everyone go into the bathroom.
Well, that's the other thing is that when I use social media, I try and make it so that it's not like we're all stuck on our phones, but that if I am like making a TikTok, if I am on Instagram, whatever, it's that it's a part of the experience. So I did like a thing where me and my friend had everyone go into the bathroom and we asked them a different question and made them answer it for a TikTok.
So strung it all together like you're asking someone the same question, but the answers are so different.
So it's like, oh, I'm so-and-so and my favorite season is fall. And the next one was like, my favorite One Direction member is Louis.
That's... Whatever.
So then we played it for everyone.
It was like fun. And then they just screen mirrored it on the TV and everyone sat around and played it. I'm like, that's fun. Like, she just is into the bit. So Jay and I had done stand-up in high school. That was the very first time.
I was going to say, what was your like performance based?
So this answers your question of who were we in high school. So we were all about comedy. We were all about doing it, being funny, trying to get laughs. This is who we were. We weren't class clowns because we were great students. Remember, we're smart.
Yeah, you're in the smart. You don't have a chip on your shoulder.
So the smart kids like us. No, but we were – so we weren't about being disruptive.
Right.
We were about doing bits and trying to do – because we were comedy nerds, huge comedy nerds.
Were you like, we want to be like the next Smothers Brothers vibes?
No. This is where we were at. We had no – because we like the Smothers Brothers already did their thing.
Right. And the Smothers Brothers – were dated, very dated even then.
Truly awesome. Like, let's just say what they created and what they did and the fact that they had a very political show on CBS for all those years that, like, railed against – amazing. And they were connected to all the bands in a great way.
Yeah.
And they could play music, which is something we couldn't do. So the very first time we got on stage and performed at, like, this we were huge stand-up fans. We would just watch stand-up all the time. All the time. We would watch Rodney Dangerfield's Young Comedian Special. Jerry Seinfeld, Rita Rudner, Bob Saget, the late great, our friend Bob Saget, may rest in peace. He was on it. And Bob Nelson and Robert Townsend. Like, we're all in this one special.
Crazy.
We memorized everything. And then we just learned all their bits because they were just so funny. And, you know, at the time, no one was watching all these bits.
Right.
There was no YouTube. There was no social media to pass around the same clip over and over again. and there was no Netflix. And, you know, like, yeah, there were HBO specials, but they were rare. It was like George Carlin.
I was going to say it was like George Carlin.
Eddie Murphy, George Carlin. And that's the biggest
George
people.
I love George Carlin.
Me too. So, but we were huge fans of these other comics and what they were doing. And so, like, our parents' friends would be over for bridge, like playing in the basement, like playing bridge. Do you know what bridge is?
Of course. It's a
cards game. And so, like,
I have like two bridge tables at my house amazing. That were my great grandmother's.
So, there would, you know, our Nana's basement. Yes. And like, there would just be like tables set up and like assorted chocolate nuts mm-hmm. everywhere that we would come down and just scoop out. And we'd be down there. And our parents' friends, adults, would be like, what's going on with you guys? And we were in like 7th or 8th grade. So 12, 13-year-old kids, and we would immediately launch into a Seinfeld bit. They didn't know it. We're like, what's the deal with the shower radio? You know, why would you want to dance next on a slick surface next to a glass door? I mean, great bits, not ours. And we were getting huge laughs. Meanwhile, we're twins, and so already people, there's attention on right. the two of us. We're like, what do we do with that attention? And so we just loved being funny. And so we did stand-up at this talent show yep. at Parkway North. And we did stand up and we wrote like half of it and then stole half the material because we didn't know what we were doing.
Yeah,
we're
course.
Like, we'll do this old bit or we'll do this joke yeah. that someone else's because you just didn't know. I mean, and we did it and we finished. And I remember we were really involved in Jewish summer camp, Jewish youth groups. And to us, that was like a whole other group of people that we could go. She's about to go to a Jewish USY convention.
What's USY?
United Synagogue Youth, like just a youth group. She cool. goes to a Jewish summer camp in Northern California, the same brand of ones that we went to, that same Camp Ramah in Wisconsin. She's in Northern California.
Oh, I know yeah. people that went to Camp Ramah. I went to a Jewish summer camp in Canada, which
oh, nice.
Is, I went to Camp Tamarack.
Tamarack.
Which,
oh, yeah, I know yeah, what yeah. Tamarack is.
It's a great, I loved my camp time, but I yeah. know a bunch of people.
Went to the Ramah out of Toronto.
And my husband went to University of Michigan.
So did
and
I.
Go Blue.
Go Blue.
And a bunch of his friends went to
Ramah, Wisconsin.
Ramah, Wisconsin. Or Ramah. Is there one in Michigan? I have no idea.
No, there's one in Wisconsin.
One in Wisconsin. Maybe one in Toronto because I know yeah. it's so yeah. close.
Yes.
So,
yes.
Yeah. you know.
That's amazing. Yeah. I wonder if we were there at the same time.
You know, I don't.
When did he graduate college?
He is younger.
Younger
I'm
than
not gonna
me?
I'm not going to age shame you, but he's younger.
Okay, great. So I didn't know that. But we were really into like camp and USY and whatnot because those were opportunities for us to get in front of a bunch of people. There were usually like performances there and we would just flat out do bits and do comedy.
Yeah.
And it was like they had never seen – those people had never known what hit them. Like we just came in there with like full-blown – for us, this was our opportunity if you watch like The Marvelous Miss Maisel or whatever.
Right.
She would go around to dinner parties and tell her stories. Like this was that for us.
Yeah. That's so fun.
So our friend from Kansas City who was in our like region of BBYO and USY was in Comedy Sports, which was like an mm-hmm. improv thing in Kansas City, right? Mm-hmm. Our buddy Jeff Goldsmith, who now runs like a major – he's a writer and writes about movies and stuff. He does like a podcast about
cool.
movies and stuff for like for Apple. It's like he interviews like crazy directors and stuff. But
love
back
that.
In the day, he loved and he went to USC Film School. He loved comedy. So do we. And so he's like, hey, I just got this thing at Comedy Sports about, you know, that the Disney Channel is doing a young comedian special. If you have any tape on you guys doing stand up, submit it to this address right here. And we're like, we just did it. We just did it at our high school and we have the videotape. So we had to go to the guy who did our bar mitzvah video because it's the only guy who had two VCRs, right? Scott, oh my God, I'm going to screw this guy's name. Scott, I forget.
Shout out to Scott.
Shout out to Scott.
I have a friend named Scott Cellist, but this was Scott. I'm going to get his name right. Anyway, so we had made a copy and sent it away to California. And
oh
I think the address was like on like 7761 Beverly Boulevard.
Oh my God.
Now we know that we live here to Rubin and Core, which was this production company. And we thought, well, that's like dropping it in a black hole. We'll
for
never
sure.
see that ever again. Yeah. We're like, see you later. And then they called us. I remember they called us. We're at home. We get a phone call because, like, we're having dinner.
Right.
We get a phone call.
How exciting. See, to me, that's the shit that's exciting that I miss.
Crazy. Crazy. So we get a phone call. They're like, hey, you guys are really good. There's something about you that's so interesting. You're twins. This is, like, super interesting. But you can't steal material.
Yeah.
We're like, oh, right. And then also – try this, 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 and this. Just go up to your local comedy club and do it. And meanwhile, the notes they gave us were things we wouldn't figure out for 10, 15 years.
Right.
I mean, there were great ideas and thoughts, but we were too young to for figure sure. that out. For sure. And we're like, so we call the local, I'm sorry, Dave, this is so long. But
no,
we
no,
call,
no, but I love this story. I
so we call story. The local comedy club and they'll just call them up and see if you can get up. We call them up and they're like, how old are you? And we're like, 15. They were like, this is a bar. You can't even right. get in here. You're not performing here. We call them back and we're and kind of relieved. We call back Ruben and Cor and we're like, hey, relieved that we don't have to now go up and do this thing.
Right.
Too bad. You're going to have to make the decision off the tape, right? So we said, they won't let us in. We're 15 and it's a bar. And
right.
they said, hold on a second. They call. And then 5 minutes later, the club calls us back and is like, you're up this Tuesday. We're like,
oh, my God.
So we had to like – get rid of all the stuff that was other people's stuff and write this other stuff and put it all down. And it was like...
Well, wait, do you remember what you wrote?
So I remember we did this one bit that was very conceptual, kind of in the ways of things that we did. I mean, in school, we had a bit that the best bit that we did in for the school thing was there was a math club called Mu Alpha Theta. Hilarious, right? Math club, Mu Alpha Theta, like a Greek fraternity of math nerds. And our bit was that their membership wasn't that, you know, they weren't getting enough members. They want to kind of expand the net, so to speak, in terms of getting new members. So we're like, they should hire the guys who do the truck and tractor pull commercials to like do
right.
a commercial for these guys. And then we launch into it. It's Mu Alpha Theta this Saturday with a truck and pro tractor pull. It was like that sort of stuff. Funny, fast, back and forth. And it got laughs. I mean, is it the most brilliant thing in the world? No, but for a 14-year-old, it's not bad.
I was going to say, it's not bad. It's not the worst thing I've ever heard.
So then at the club, everybody who were like big comedians at that time in 1987, early 87, a lot of comedians would do like a rap song finish. And remember, NWA, it all sort of falls into the same thing. So, you know, like, I'm Vanessa something and here to say, and it's like a lot of white people doing the rap.
Right.
And you're like, it's so bad. Meanwhile, we were huge fans of the Beastie Boys because the Beastie Boys were almost as big of an influence as anybody in terms of comedy because they were having fun together.
Right.
Their style was one verse, maybe they'd come together on a third verse. That very much defined our style and we love them and they were out and new and funny and cool. And so we were like, let's do a twist on that whole thing. So we were already doing alternative stuff. So at the end of our set, but we didn't realize how this was going to go over. We just wrote this thing. We said, you know, everybody loves to do the big rap finish. This is a thing in comedy. You guys know this. If you've seen a lot of comedy, everybody loves that big rap finish.
Right.
So we thought we would do that for you guys tonight, a big rap finish. And we reach down and pick up a bunch of boxes and wrapping paper. And we're like, we just have some holiday gifts
so
that we want to do. And it was just
funny.
Us
so
gift wrapping. So there's no jokes. Like if we were smarter, we would have written more jokes with it or made it seem kind of like it. But it was kind of a funny concept that
That's really, really funny.
We send that tape off. Nothing. We hear nothing. And my guess, because we've never found it, is like they never really went forward and did the show.
Right.
But it was for us to hear from these people that you guys were in the top 10 of tapes that we've seen.
Yeah.
Gave us the incentive to be like, it's more than just our friends are like, you guys are funny.
Yes.
So we kind of took that underneath us and like for the rest of high school, didn't really get up and do more stand-up except between senior year and 1990, between senior year and when we went to college at the University of Michigan, we got up. All the time. Like in St. Louis, we were getting up like we got up a lot. I mean, it was actually, we didn't get up there. It was like somewhere between our junior and senior year of college. We were getting up all the time in St. Louis and doing stand up.
Yeah. Cool.
Sorry, Dave. So
no, I mean, I did stand up when I was 10.
Yeah, you were
you
hilarious.
Did?
So, yeah. And it was all original.
So good.
And you didn't bite anyone's bits. You didn't plagiarize.
Nope. I was.
Because I wouldn't let her because I'd been through that
experience. Yeah, he was like, don't. He was
this
like,
is
just
the product
do...
of someone who has seen someone go through it, is mm-hmm. she doesn't have to make those mistakes.
What do you remember your bits?
I mean, I did a whole thing on Star Wars and I found the video. I dressed exactly like him. Mm-hmm. Had everything on. And I walked out and I was like I was doing some crowd work. I was talking to people. I was like, hey, has anyone seen, you know, Star Wars The Force Awakens? Because I was just come out. And I was like, I saw it twice because I thought that George Lucas needed to make some more money.
Great
and
joke.
I was like 10.
Great joke.
I had like dark green Uggs on. It was like, I was doing this and I went into a bit about how we had to watch all of the Star Wars movies before we were allowed to go see Force Awakens. And we watched the prequels and I thought I was being grounded. Like things like that. Where, and then I did
Jar Jar Binks, more like
Jar Jar Stinks.
Oh,
but it was like things like that, and I did a thing about how I thought Red Riding Hood's parents were irresponsible. Like
that was just good. These are good
like, little things that I, you know. But I was, you know, 10, and I did it. And
better than what I did when I was 10.
Great, but I mean that. So
and I wouldn't let him help at all. I was like, you can't tell me what to do. I was like, do not give me anything. Do not give me any jokes. I was like, I don't want it to be influenced by you. I want it to be my own thing.
You like give me hope because you
She's
are
a hopeful awesome.
No, dude. Truly, because you like your parent, but you're also like a really good parent and a cool.
My
parent.
Mom and dad are really cool. So,
do you have friends that are like, I fucking hate my parents?
Yeah. No, I have a lot of friends who love my parents.
Right.
And I'm like, well, you can come over to my house. Like,
yeah, are sleepovers still a thing?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I'm really lucky to live in a neighborhood where I have really close friends walking distance, you know, go sleep over at someone's house or we can just hang out in the neighborhood. And like, I went on a walk around the Silver Lake Reservoir yesterday.
Yeah. That's
like,
so, this nice. So nice.
She's this, like I said, this kid could have been if she would have been a teenager when I was young,
right,
we would have been friends. Or
yeah,
if I met her at a USY convention, we'd
what
be like,
a nice feeling.
We would be buddies and we'd be friends because she doesn't need. She's not so much a product of what's going on right now.
I can see that.
Of a different time, but also very current and as to like what she knows, she's up on everything. She's not like anti that.
Of course.
But doesn't need it to create happiness and joy in her life. My 15-year-old, and by the way, she goes to a performing arts high school downtown.
I'm so jealous. I grew up in D.C. and I begged my parents to let me go to Duke Ellington, which was like where Chappelle went and was like the performing arts school.
Yes.
And
they're like, no.
They're like, no.
What are you going to do that? What are you going to grow up and do a podcast?
You're literally.
Like, Mom, Dad, how do you know what podcasts are? That doesn't come for another 30 years.
Truly. that's what they would. They were like, no, you're not doing that.
Yeah.
No.
Oh, I've been really well supported.
Do you act? Like what?
I act. And I'm like in the theater academy at my school, but I also I do cinematography and I really like writing and I really like directing. Yeah. So
you're going to go to college or no?
Yes.
Because I know a lot of kids are like, fuck college.
So she got, So she's in the, we're in that process
right
now.
We're right in that right
so
now.
I feel like
decisions
I'm back
are
in
coming
high school.
Back, which has been crazy. And I've been applying to a lot of places for film and for writing. And
cool. Did you have to take the SATs?
I took the ACT.
Me too.
I had to take it 3 times.
When I took the ACT, it was like deemed the test that it was like, I remember being embarrassed. I was like, I have to take the
ACT. It's such a stupid test.
The thing is that like, we're in a weird limbo right now because it was test optional for seniors in 2020 and seniors in 2021.
So they don't have to submit their scores.
It's still test optional for me this year. And so for some places I can say, oh, I don't want to submit my scores. And some schools I can say, yes, I do want to submit my scores. Which is helpful, but a lot of friends I know just didn't take any
of the
tests
like,
at all.
Screw this. I'm not
like,
gonna
well,
take
I don't
it.
Have to.
I mean, I famously fell asleep during the SAT and my mom thought I was narcoleptic because I fell asleep. I just essentially filled out my name and like handed it in. My score was, I don't know, whatever it was to fill out your name, like 750. It was like for filling out the page. and after that, I was like, I can't do the SAT because I'm not a math brain. And I feel like you need to.
Super difficult is math and all that other stuff. And I was the same way. And I'm like, you're not going to need whatever exists. You're not going to need it moving forward. Like, I'd much rather you write the best essay that they've ever
100%.
Seen. 100%. Write an essay. They're reading all these essays about, I started this nonprofit and I did this thing and I did that. And then you come in with like just a banger of a hilarious, funny, showing who you are without explaining who you are. And you do it that way.
Yeah.
And so like we really kind of spent a lot of time kind of making sure that it was tip top, and her stuff is amazing. And she already got into Emerson, which is
for the comedic arts program.
I have a bunch of friends that went to Emerson.
Every single person that I've met has just said good things.
And I gotta say, a lot of my friends went to Emerson, very successful. Yep. A lot of them are directors.
That's very
so. That's it's great to know. We know a couple. We like know a couple professors there that I didn't know were professors there, but friends of friends or writing partners of people. And we've spoken to them. It just sounds like an incredible program. Yeah. And we're waiting to hear back from Michigan. So,
okay, yeah. I know that I ragged on Boston a lot. Sorry, Boston people.
It's okay.
But I will say, I was just doing shows in Boston in December at the Wilbur Theater. Shout out to the Wilbur Theater.
Shout out.
Beautiful theater.
By the way, good for you.
Fabulous
for
time.
That.
Well, it was with my dear friend Matt Rogers. We had a gorgeous time.
Nice.
But I will say, I liked Boston this time around.
So good I think to hear. Good college, to hear. That's what I'm saying. As a college kid going there with a bunch of other college kids, and that school's right on Boston Common, it's amazing.
It's beautiful,
I'm
too.
I'm so psyched for her and so proud of her that she got in there. And so now we wait to hear from Michigan Northwestern.
I do have to say, you know, as the wife of a Wolverine, okay, you should go to Michigan. Yes. My husband said he'd film at Michigan. He did.
Yeah, that's what I applied
for. So there's which didn't exist when I was there. Now there's an incredible film and TV department there.
Sketch comedy.
And all sorts. They have like a little TV studio and all this stuff. So Jay and I have gone back there and like guest taught classes and stuff when we've come back. And it is incredible.
Yeah.
So, I mean, this is like a super wonderful time and a super hard time because we're going to lose her next year.
No.
So she goes to this performing arts. And then my other daughter, Georgia, is in 10th grade and she's really trendy. She's a product of what's going on right now. She has her own style and does her own things and is very – but she's very tip of what's going on. Mm.
You
right
need
now.
Both, you know? Yeah. You have to have both.
It's
balance
incredible.
It out.
She goes to a big public high school here in Los Angeles and she runs track for them and does that. But like
the athlete, I'm the artist.
She's a different kid.
Yeah.
And it's super interesting to see the dichotomy of both of them. So I'm like experiencing high school in a very cool, weird performing arts high school
way.
Where it's like no matter you can't be weird enough at that school. Mm-hmm. There really aren't cliques. It's just a awesome mixture of like really cool people.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
Do people – wait, I have two questions for both of you.
Sure.
Same question, two. One, whenever I think of high school in, like, the 80s, mm-hmm. I think of, you know, movies and I think of the – I think of cliques. I think of, like,
cool
jocks.
Kids, the
cool
jocks.
Cool kids, theater, the freaks, like, whatever. Yeah. So was that prevalent at your high school and is it prevalent at your high school? Because – whenever I talk to my cousins who are a senior in high school, mm-hmm. they're kind of like, but they go to high school in rural country, middle of nowhere, Pennsylvania, which is a whole different thing.
There's the Amish clique.
Yeah, they're like, the Amish clique.
Who's parked their buggy in my spot right here? Amish. I mean, park that in the assistant principal's.
No, it's very take the ATV to school. Like,
I 100% hear that. And I'm almost more scared of those schools because those kids are so bored. They're like, let's give each other electric shocks and see how fun that is. You're like, you could die. Don't hook your nipples up to that car battery, you dummy.
It's very that.
Whereas like in LA, there's just so much to do. I feel like it's like less of like, we need to do crazy stuff.
Yeah. I mean, I feel grateful that I grew up in DC, but we were also wasting. We would just go to so many concerts. It was a big music town. And I feel grateful that I spent a lot of my time doing that.
It's great. We encourage her to go out and go check out as much. I mean, LA gets all the best.
Everything.
So she wants to go to that.
It's good.
Like, your experiences the last couple of years screwed everybody. All these poor kids who
you didn't get your sophomore.
I didn't get my half of my freshman year or my sophomore year.
But wait, cliques.
Yes.
They were a thing in your high school.
They were definitely a thing in our high school. And Jay and I prided ourselves on not being really in any of them. Being a floater, we were in all of them. So like we were with the nerdy kids
were the smart kids.
Guys, we were in the, I don't know if I mentioned
you didn't mention that. You didn't mention that earlier.
So they were that. And then we played sports. So like we were kind of could hang with those guys, the theater kids, because we did some theater stuff, which was really cool. And so we were part of the performative element of our high school.
Yeah.
And then like the Jewish kids, because they were in our.
I was going to say, was there a big Jewish population?
So there was like. No, but there was
not at my school either.
No, it's like 30% maybe, which is not bad. I mean, it was a good mixture, or maybe like 20% in our school. So you kind of were like, definitely you weren't like the only Jewish person in your class. But again, we kind of were a little bit less of, we were out. Not Creve Coeur was just a little, like I said, I can only describe it as more dirt baggy.
Right.
Yeah.
Working class is probably the better term to use. But so there were less Jews. But I mean, it was a great mix. A lot of our kids in the youth groups. That's kind of why we went to those youth group stuff too. Right. I love that because you could hang with kids who were seniors and juniors. And we were less reliant on ourselves to like get a ride and go here. Someone would just pick us up and we'd go out and do stuff.
Are there cliques in your high school? Or is it just like one big nebulous blob?
Well, because we have academies. It's music and dance arts and media arts and theater. And so not necessarily, but because when you're doing art, you're so vulnerable and you have to be able to trust the people that you're around to put up your art or perform it.
Right.
And so there are a lot of people that I just feel very comfortable with at my school. And
what if someone was like, after every like really sensitive performance, would just stand there and be like, nerd!
Yeah. See, that's what we don't have.
And then you yell at that person. They're like, that's my art.
Yeah.
Why are you making fun of my art is to say nerd? And why are you yucking my yum?
Yeah. I mean, the thing is, sometimes I'm like, why don't we have sports at our schools? Because we don't have sports. But then we're like, wait, no. We don't want sports because at my school, the sports – they are the theater performances. So I am in a weird way the like jock
athlete,
of the school.
Right.
People come up to me and we have a really great culture of students wanting to come see the performances and come see the shows that sometimes like I mean I was a lead in the musical last year and people would come up to me for autographs in the hallway. They'd be like, can you sign my poster?
God.
I'd be like, oh my God, of course. And so it's like very.
What was the musical?
It was a workshop piece. That's the other really cool thing about being in a performing arts school in LA is that there are people.
I mean, French Stewart's wife wrote this gorgeous play that was really cool. That was kind of based on Dr. Caligari's.
Yeah, the Cabinet of,
Cabinet of Curiosities. Yeah. So, like, wrote this play about it, and she was in
it. We get workshop pieces, and I helped write a devised piece for my fall play. So it's very cool to get to do those kinds of things. But, there's no real Jewish population either at my school. I run the Jewish Student Union.
There you go.
And we have fun meetings.
It's not clicky, really.
It's not very – I mean, there's – there are people that are more well-known at the school because they participate in most of the stuff. But then, you know, it's really cool. And I feel very close with my with a majority of my senior class because
that's so nice.
We all sort of bonded over Zoom and over
the trauma, the collective trauma of COVID.
The weirdness of it.
Well, when I was a senior in high school, I was smoking pot out of a crushed aluminum can.
Hollowed it out.
Screw it with, like, I would take a wine opener. So you're doing much better than I was. Really? Well, I'm, okay, so now I know that I need to get to our high school guidance counselor. I'm keeping track in my head, but I do need to know, were you in love in high school? Did you have a high school love? Yeah. Are you in love? And did you do drugs and drink? And do you do drugs and drink?
Very scary thing to talk about here. So was I in love in high school? Yes. Oh, my God. I mean, so again, I went to Jewish summer camp. And like,
right.
You go there to camp for 8 weeks.
Hormonal, it's like, raw.
It's like.
Intense.
I'm like, I'm in love with this person and that person. And like, just there were, I had girlfriends and oh, my God, there was a counselor I was in love with. I always loved older women. I was like, and my wife is a couple years older than me. So like, I don't know what it is, but I was like. I love this girl so much. And then we were in high school, not so much at my high school.
Right.
So I was not really in relationships there. But again, through all these other means and ways, we found other people. And so I definitely had people that I was in love with, for sure. For sure. Girlfriends, people that I'd pine away for.
Yeah.
Like long distance relationships.
And LDRs.
Like, she's in Minneapolis. And again, without cell phone or FaceTime.
It's crazy.
You're just like trying to call and... and like your phone bill would be so big and your parents would be like, what are you doing?
Yeah.
You got to like time it out. You call this time and I'll call that time. And, you know, I mean, but that was, there was a fun sort of game with all of that too. And the excitement of not having all that access, you'd build it all up to want to talk to that person late at night, lights off in your room. And it's like, you know, that aspect of it, I think was really sweet too. As far as like drinking, yes, we drank and stupidly drank. Like we'd drink at a party and then go to Taco Bell and order a 10-piece Taco Bell. And eating it, I'm like, this is just going to come up shortly after. And it's going to look exactly the same. Damn you, Taco Bell. So we did that. And yes, we smoked a little pot. And it's like, do I regret it? I mean, no. I don't.
Yeah.
Because I'm not like a big drug person. So it's like.
Well, it didn't negatively influence your life or impact your life.
It didn't take over. It wasn't like we were doing it all the time.
Right.
And we were also very responsible. Like we knew like we can't because we had our friend of the family whose son was killed by a drunk driver. And so we were like, all right, we can't be that because. That sort of ran through our whole circle of people and whatnot. Mm-hmm. And we were like, we just have to be smart.
Yeah.
You're not going to do this. Like if you're driving, there were designated drivers amongst our group of friends. We were just very smart about it.
Well, but St. Louis.
We were the smart kids.
We were the smart kids.
But it was, you know, it was the Midwest.
I mean, Budweiser.
It was more like more shameful things like Bartles and James.
Love or Bartles
Boone's
and James.
Boone's Farms or Mad Dog 2020.
Oh, Mad Dog 2020.
That stuff was terrible. It was like very flavored stuff. And, you know, but we just, again, I don't think I got drunk for the first time until college. Like really got wasted and throwing up in the room, spinning and all that stuff. And as soon as that happened, I was like, I don't ever want to do this again.
Yeah, it's awful.
What? Who loves this?
Yeah.
Like I just didn't have that. Gene, thankfully, inside of me that was like, you got to do this. You got to do this.
Yeah.
I kind of knew right away. It's like putting your hand on a hot stove.
Yeah.
You do it once and then you're like, wait, I don't need to do that.
Again. Unfortunately, I had to do that about like 30 times. And
before
then
you
finally
realize, this is not good.
Like,
it's so shiny and bright. Let me do that thing again.
I was like, well, this won't happen to me if I play Edward 40 hands,
right.
Which became a game after Edward's. That's not a game anymore.
No.
Okay.
No. So, all right. So now let's hear it from
her. Are you? What are the vibes?
Well,
also,
I mean,
you don't feel comfortable disclosing, but you guys feel very close. So I'm like not worried.
We're super close. And she's about to go out to college. So you know, like I won't know what she's doing in college.
Yeah.
So.
Well, you know. But I mean, I went to summer camp and I obviously, the camp romance
camp loves.
And all that is a whole thing.
Mm-hmm. My first kiss, shout out Jake Schatz in Toronto, Canada.
Schatzy.
But I, and you know, and I've I'm not a like huge, like just, I really like relationships and I like being with people and connecting with people. And I've like, I'm kind of into everyone and whatever. And I have a girlfriend right now, which is really cool.
Nice.
And they were super, have been super accepting about it, which is awesome. And the sort of message in our family is just be with the person who makes you
happy.
Did
you meet her at summer camp?
No.
She goes to a different school.
Okay. How'd you meet?
We met at a mutual friend's birthday party.
Okay.
Which was so
mutual.
Fun. And it's just been
she's cool. I like
came
her
over
a lot.
For dinner yesterday, and it was just me and my dad, and we had dinner, which she's was just cool. So fun. And I mean, my girlfriend has like a red convertible, and we just kind of ride around town.
Okay, to, like, living the life.
Yeah,
like, I'm like,
they volunteer at the smell and like music, like always like in the music and concert scene, and we have like a bunch of friends who just love to like. I mean, in the craziest way, like I have a friend, a camp friend who visited from New York, and we got together with a bunch of friends and went out to a restaurant and talked about why we make art and why we love art.
I love it.
Just had a very real conversation, and it was
like disturbed.
not a typical.
Listen, we have our moments, and we
of course.
Should see her goddamn room. Clean your room.
I don't want to clean my room.
She got to clean your room. I say you got to clean your room because you're going to be in a room with someone next year.
Yeah,
and if they walk in and like if they get very stressed out by a mess, like you're going to create stress for somebody else.
Yeah.
That.
Also, let me tell you a story. Mm. I had a messy room, shocker. Mm-hmm. And
wow, you were so well put together.
Yeah, I had a messy room. Uh-huh. And my mom would always be like, clean your fucking room.
Yep.
Yeah.
And she would be like, it was just bad. Then I go to college and I have a roommate who very organized,
very neat. Did that whip you into shape?
No, because let me tell you, that roommate moved out.
Of course.
Oh, my God.
Am I going to live in this squalor? Are you kidding me?
Because I did my freshman year of college at the University of Arizona.
Oh,
okay,
boy.
Which I went there to study photography, so
great.
I wasn't, like, fully
party
deranged
school,
yet.
Beautiful.
But party school for
Tucson,
sure.
Tucson,
but I was only there for a year, and then I moved to New York.
Wow.
And I went to Parsons.
Wow.
Art school.
I have a friend who gone to Parsons, Paris.
But let me just put it to you this way. I am still dealing. Nope, I'm not a messy person anymore, but I have a little habit that my husband likes to call piles. Okay.
Right.
Yeah.
So
my wife's grandmother used to say, I'm a pilot. I pilot over here. Yeah. I pilot over there. I pilot over there.
That's what I do. And I have piles everywhere.
Get your pilot's license.
And it's embarrassing now.
Yeah.
And had I just made it a better habit when I was your age, I wouldn't be a pilot.
Listen to her.
Yes,
so
I'm listening.
This is the worst words
I
can say to this kid ever. We do this joke. We do. So I have bits with my fan that I love. Like, so again, this is what being a comedian is, because I'm like, certain bits are just for us.
Yes.
They're not for anybody else, although I'm doing this on this podcast. Yeah. So I guess it's not just for us.
Yeah.
But the worst thing I can – the three
– worst words.
The
yeah.
four worst words I can ever say to this kid is, Days,
can you just?
Yeah.
It's the worst thing, because whatever comes out
no,
next.
No, I can't.
She doesn't
want to
do it.
Just.
Can you just clean up your room?
No.
Can you just take a shower?
No.
Can you just put this in that room over
no.
there? It's like the war. Can you just?
Why would you say that to me?
And the way you say can you just is like so
the worst.
Mean. It's
no,
so
it's
mean.
The worst.
It's like, it's not that big of a deal. I'm like preemptively taking her. I don't want to do
oh,
it.
Yeah.
And being like, it's not that big of a deal. Can you just?
Can you just do
can
nothing?
You just do
I
this?
I can't just.
I remember my mom, no one would call me Greta. Everyone would call me a nickname of sorts. And whenever I would hear Greta, I would know it
you're
was.
You're in deep trouble and
was,
you got to do something
I have
you don't
do
want
to do. Something I don't want to do. And I used to be like, did you know that the most brilliant creative minds are messy? I'd like, they say people that are incredibly brilliant and creative don't have
that's
organized
right.
rooms.
I get like freaked out. Just, you know, again, because we're in a creative thing. Like,
yeah.
I need like a space to be, it can't be cluttered or else I can't,
yeah.
I can't think or, so anyway, I'm terrible about that. But like she's, and then her sister is like super, her sister wants to be a designer like my wife. And so she's very
she offers
particular.
To clean my room for
she'll
me.
She'll do it, but she's very particular.
Is she a shower person?
Yes.
Are you a shower person?
I am a shower. I'm, I'm going to tell you right now.
I let my skin marinate, honey. I let my skin marinate.
And your skin looks great. So I mean, this is a good. This is basically a PSA for not showering.
But I will say, people will judge you in college.
Yeah.
You get to college, and your roommate will like clock it, and you'll be like, "Oh shit!" Gotta shower.
So. Yeah.
And you can't be non-shower girl. You can
No.
Later.
I don't want to be.
You definitely want to. So anyway, but I mean, there's.
I'm a no shower girl. I hate showering. I don't want to get wet. Like
that aspect of it. What? It is really.
I shower twice a day. Maybe.
You're crazy.
Big shower person.
I shower every other day. Here's what I'm going to say. I work
out. Is that bad?
No.
That is painting a rosy.
No. Whoa.
That is.
Sometimes you don't even notice that I shower.
Yeah.
And I will have showered. And then you come down and you're like, can you just shower?
Can you
I'm just like, take a shower? Yeah, I did.
Jace, can you just? No.
Here's the thing. If you're not stinky. You know,
this kid's wonderful.
If you're not stinky. And like, how often did we used to shower? People probably walked around smelling like shit in the 1800s.
Yes, and I agree. And I agree for your skin, it is not. And for your hair, it's not good to like wash it every day.
But no, it's good for your, you know, mind, body, and soul. Do you drink and do you smoke?
I can't smoke. I can't do drugs because my mom, most awesome, amazing, hippie, Burning Man woman, has told me all of her scarring, terrible, near-death experience stories.
Now, do you think this is propaganda to scare you? Do you think these are scare tactics?
No, she is very honest with me, and both of them are very open and honest with my sister and I, and they, you know, they're like, I'm not telling you no, but I'm telling you my experience.
Right.
I'm telling you that some of this stuff is genetic, and your reaction might not be the best, and in the most like annoying way, like my voice is my instrument. And
absolutely.
I like talking and I don't want to mess with anything that could in the future impair my ability to do accents and to do voices and to be able to project as loud as I can or to sing as well as I can. But like if I'm at a party, I will like drink in moderation. I also don't like to black out. I don't like to not remember how my night went.
Yeah.
But I'm not like
in a weird situation.
Right. And then after, I'm very honest with them about it because the sort of environment that we've built in my family is like, it's not that you shouldn't do things. It's that you should be responsible and
smart
and honest.
Well, I had a fake ID in high school and I would put like talk powder in my hair to make myself look older and wear like dress clothes and walk up there.
No, but I mean,
it's like McLovin. I'd be like, what's up? You know, just working for the city.
Wait, you had baby powder in your hair?
To make it seem
like salt and pepper.
It was going on. So we were fortunate enough this past summer to take these guys. We went to visit my wife's brother and his Italian wife. He lives in Australia. He's 7 years older than her, and they have a 7-year-old son, and he was married before and has two adult kids from that marriage. And so we all met in Italy over the summer
for
his 60th, my 50th, and it was a really wonderful trip. But while we're going through Europe and going through Italy and going out to dinner,
you have to have wine with your dinner.
Try
right.
a little bit of this and try some of the champagne and try this stuff. Not that we're trying to get our
kids
drunk.
Because it's supposed to be the flavor profiles. It's supposed to fit together. It's supposed
I'm
to be
like,
the experience.
It's treat alcohol like a wheel of cheese.
I love
you would
that.
Never eat a whole thing of brie cheese because it would make you sick.
Yes.
You'd throw up. But if you have a little bit of this with a little bit of this and a little bit of this, and
it's supposed to taste good.
You treat
like
a very strong cheese.
Oh, my God. Okay. We are officially... Oh, the knock is on the door. We're officially in the high school guidance counselor's office. I could literally talk to both of you for about 7 hours.
Right. Yes.
So I do
so
need
fun.
To keep it moving.
Okay.
In this segment of the podcast, we get to rectify a wrongdoing of high school's past. Ooh. You get to, you know, apologize to someone, say fuck you to someone, whatever it is you want to do, yield this time, whatever that little annoying memory is. Now you just get to heal those wounds. And then you get to do this too.
Okay.
Yeah.
Find something that's not too fresh.
Not too fresh. Not going to get you in trouble.
Right.
Of rectify something that I did in high school or was
done to me.
You know, it's funny because we did kind of control our thing throughout high school. Like we had control over our stuff. And when high school got not fun or we are ever feeling like, oh, I don't want to hang out with these people or whatever, then we we just bolted to these other areas. But I remember.
And you had each other.
And we had each other, which was a big thing. But I remember one time I was dry. I was going to, like, we were at a party. I was, like, going to find parking at a house party. And, like, I saw my friend. And I waved to my friend as I'm driving. Meanwhile, my car's alignment was a little bit off. Mm-hmm. So it would just start to drift to the right a little bit. And it, like, hit my other friend's car.
No.
And I didn't say anything about it because I was like, it's probably not that big of a hit.
Yeah.
But another friend of ours, or a guy who we knew, who I didn't love, saw it and then told my friend. And, like, that created, like, a rift between the two of us. So what I want to say is to the other friend who saw it, fuck you. His car was a piece of
yeah.
shit. So, like, I don't care. So there's that. And then another car-related thing is we didn't have a car. We borrowed our parents, because our parents just didn't have, like, the money to buy right. us our own car, let alone two cars for us. So we drove our mom's Pontiac 6000 Ellie, which
what color?
Maroon.
Love.
And so we drove it, and we were making a U-turn, an illegal U-turn. Mm-hmm. Me and Jay were making a legal U-turn, and we didn't see that there was just a little bit,
like,
of
lip.
A tiny little lip, and we went up over it, and it completely destroyed, like, the oil pan underneath, and so it started leaking oil. So we had to go get it fixed without our parents knowing about it. This was crazy. We got it fixed, and it cost, like, $600 to get it fixed, and we had to sell all of our baseball cards, our best
God.
Baseball cards, just to pay for it. Meanwhile, our parents had an idea that, like, something happened
course.
And we fixed the car. But if I had a chance to do it all over again, I would not make that illegal U-turn.
No.
Because that was just stupid on our part. But then again, I'm a stupid person in life today. We took an RV trip.
Oh,
we
God.
Rented an RV in and I should have known this from that story. We rented an RV in Colorado and drove all around Colorado.
We were trying
and Utah.
To get out of I'm going to cut to the chase. We were trying to get out. We were trying to get out of a parking lot, and there was a beer truck halfway, like, blocking half of the entrance and exit of the parking lot. And my dad thought, oh, the RV can fit through this halfway entrance.
Which it could fit through there, but then I had to take a wider swing to get on the road, but I didn't do it. Instead, I just made a normal turn the way I would in a car, not a 24-foot freaking RV.
And there was a little rock, like 16 inches from the ground, that you couldn't see from the car, and it busted in the door.
And I'm just driving, and it's just like pushing
the
door.
Engine,
but
no.
It completely destroyed the door. So on my 20th anniversary, on the day, we're sitting in a parking lot waiting for seven hours.
In
a construction site for,
like,
someone to
come
and fix.
A drunk guy comes up and he's like, I can give you guys turkey. Do the kids want turkey?
Get the kids in the trailer over here and I'll give them a turkey leg. I'm like, well, there was a point in which yeah. I was like, nah, we're good. He's like, do you want me to do more? We're like, we do not need you to do more, sir. Hey, I'm going to help put this. And he, like, it was.
That's so funny.
He's like,
funny.
I got a problem with that place across the street. I got fired 3 months ago.
Oh,
and I'm like,
my
this
God.
Is what's happening on our anniversary. Again, because I'm a stupid idiot and didn't realize I need to make a wider turn.
It happens. So, no more U-turning for you.
Bookmarked Mm-mm. in my life are yeah. two just huge issues that of me not understanding how to make a turn.
Yeah. What did you learn when you turned 50? No more U-turns.
No more U-turns. In life, that's a great thing. Keep going down your
yeah.
path. Don't U-turn,
U-turn
around. Just keep going.
Do you have any grievances?
I do. I have one from last year.
Okay, let's get it out there.
That I was being a bit of a jerk, and I was being a bit of a theater kid.
Okay.
And I had my musical, and mm-hmm. I was very proud of it. I put a lot of time into it, and I really wanted all my friends to be able to come see it. And one of my best friends was doing tech
uh-huh.
for her production of Mamma Mia, and at a different school.
Okay.
And
in your mind, you're like, well, you're doing Mamma Mia.
Right. And I was being a little pretentious, and I was being really pretentious. Mm-hmm. And she couldn't come see my show because it coincided with her tech week.
Mm-hmm.
And I was just so emotional and so upset. I was
weird.
Are we allowed
you emotional?
Me emotional? Am I allowed to curse?
Yeah,
but
I was
you
being
to
a
curse.
Bitch. I was being a bitch.
Bitch yeah. is also not a curse
it's
word.
It's not, you know. But Well, in this house, I've been cursing it.
She's been like...
Do you consider bitch a curse word?
No, but like...
I've been dropping F-bombs like crazy.
She's been dropping F-bombs in our house a lot.
Yeah.
Here's what we got to clean up the room, and we got to clean up that filthy mouth.
That's
exactly.
Right.
But I was...
F-bombs in there that needs to be...
I mean, but I was really being... I'm being a bitch. And I ghosted my friend. I didn't respond to any of her text messages. I was being really mean, and yeah, I didn't respond. And then I wrote a 2-page letter, and I was like,
by hand,
200 hours I worked on my production, and you could. It was. It was like,
you gotta send that to me before it goes out.
It was from the worst.
I need to be like the tweet center. Send it to me, and then I'll let you know if that goes out the door.
Yeah. So I mean. Because my show had just closed.
Right.
I was full of all the emotions.
Right.
And I was so.
Wait, a theater kid full of all the emotions?
Oh, my God.
You were living in your feels?
I know. And I wrote it all. And I put it in an envelope. And I went to go see the production of Mamma Mia. And I, instead of saying anything to my friend, I just handed her the envelope. And I walked
so
away.
Cold-blooded.
It was terrible. And and we are friends now.
Made it through.
We made up. We had a stoop talk. She came to my doorstep, and we sat and we talked. And
did you cry?
I cried. I felt terrible. I still feel pretty bad. But this is, apparently she, which well within her right, read it to the entire cast and crew of Mamma Mia.
My God.
They all read it. Where I was like, tech isn't as important, which is not true.
You left a paper trail.
I really did. And so it's become like. And so I've kind of like been winning back the trust of all these people who dislike me because, imagine if
ragged on tech.
I know, which I will never.
Well, doll, you're the star.
And here's the thing. I do tech as well. And I've done tech. I've had tech positions. So I understand how much work it is. And I will never discredit it again.
Also, can I say when I got COVID during your performance?
Both my parents got COVID during my run, my show.
Now, I saw it and we did see it. We just didn't get to see it like 4 times. Like
right,
I want
right.
To. She got so mad.
I was so upset.
For getting sick. And I was like, we didn't do a good job of teaching you how to have empathy. That's
wow.
on us.
No.
About
so it was like
scenario.
A very.
Like, you got to treat sick people like in a different
a very,
way.
Well, to be fair.
At least you didn't write me a letter.
You're internalizing your failures as a parent.
But I was very. I was like very emotional because. My parents couldn't come see it. Like, so it just became like
a bunch of times. We did see
I know,
it.
It's such a.
Let's be honest about it. And she didn't want to get sick. I understand that. Well, but there was less of a.
It was so.
So
I,
it's good. Those moments expose what you need to then teach the kids. So then we had a huge talk where I was like, okay, you are going to have a very lonely life if you treat people this way in these moments.
And it's not something. I don't act like this always. It's very rare for me. And. It was junior year, so.
You gotta have those moments of screw.
It's intense. Junior year is really intense.
It was like, it was right when everything was picking up and my AP tests and everything. And so but I'm here to say I'm sorry.
There you go.
I shouldn't have.
That's what this podcast is all about.
That's why he brought me here so that I could sorry.
These aren't even plugged in. This is just for me.
This is a setup.
I'm an actor.
She doesn't have a podcast.
Yeah,
HeadGum doesn't exist.
Yeah, this is all a setup.
It's a big ruse.
So I could say sorry. Mom's going to come out.
Yeah, no.
But I feel bad and I will never do it again.
Even if you do it again. And if we stop you in the middle and you say, I'm sorry. But again, like,
there's no more letters for me.
No more letters. Never write anything down. Because then you can always deny it.
Yeah. So what? I'm kidding.
That was advice my mom gave me. My mom said, never
leave a paper trail.
Never leave a paper trail.
Don't leave a digital paper trail.
Oh, my God.
Digital
never do that.
Footprint is real.
Do not
I know some
text.
People who just.
No.
I'm like, why are you doing that?
Yeah, you call them. And honestly, you call them and you say, can we meet up? And then you meet up. And then.
Where's your phone? I don't want to see a voice memo being recorded.
Put it away.
Exactly.
You take it in the bags that they give at theaters.
By the way, though, this is another great thing about high school is that you think the stakes are high, but the stakes are really in life. They're not that high.
Oh, no.
So it's good to have these screw-ups.
Oh,
it's
yeah.
It's good to fuck up in high school. It's
yeah.
good because in the end, you learn from those moments.
100%.
And then it's good to screw up in college too.
Yes.
Because, you know, it all of it is prep for you. Like mistakes and taking losses, taking an L, I think is something people don't do anymore.
Taking a loss. 14-year-old skater
son. Taking an L.
I also think that something that you learn and you will continue to learn as you continue to pursue the arts and creativity and, you know, I feel fortunate that I fail every single day. Like, I literally fail every single day.
Yeah.
And I, in high school, I remember my failures feeling so huge.
How am I going to get over this?
Right. Yeah. And like, I feel, and it would make me feel very defeated. And I would be like, kind of that feeling, like that intensity of your friends not being at this performance. It's like, that is huge for you because that is your reality.
Your whole world.
And, you know, being able to have the strength to like even have perspective after a year is really big.
It's good.
Yeah.
And it will only to continue to serve you the further down you go because, you know, I think it's a great honor to fail every day. I love getting rejected by Hollywood every single day.
That's the reality that she's seen us like grow up with. That like there have been successes and wonderful things, but there are a lot of like, nope, there's a great idea that we pitched around and everybody said no. It's crazy.
Which is, I feel like, so important to know before entering the industry and why I'm so lucky to be in LA and be around people that know the reality of the industry so that I'm not, you know, I don't prance out here like,
you're a Nepo baby, honey.
I know. I have feelings about that.
We have friends who are like, so I want her to put me in whatever she does.
Oh, no, she's my Nepo baby.
I want to be a Nepo daddy.
No, you are Nepo daddy.
Every script I write has a twin part.
That's actually a really funny idea. Caring. You should write Nepo Daddy.
Nepo Daddy would be the great.
Because he's my, like, I am your Nepo.
We'll write Nepo that mom. And you'll shoot that as a thing. But
I also would like to offer myself any parts that you need.
Right. You know each other.
I'm very versatile. My gynecologist did think I was 22 the other day.
He's checking that area.
there you go.
So that if you're 22, from his perspective or her perspective, her perspective, then that's it. See, I switched it up.
Dr. Kornreich, shout out to her.
Shout out.
Weird name for a doctor. Anyway.
Obsessed with her. Beverly Hills OBGYN.
There you go. I have a question for you. Did your parents ever apologize to you for stuff that they did while you were in high school? Where they were like, oh, you know what? I overreacted right there. I'm really sorry.
That's actually a very interesting question.
Because we think about that a lot. We do that.
Yeah.
We do that for these guys.
That's really good.
When we fuck up, I'm always like, that was bad, my reaction to whatever I had going on and whatever. That was really bad. But if I apologize, then to me, you're teaching these guys how to apologize in those moments.
Yeah.
To answer it short and concise, no.
I gathered that by the way your mom would be like, clean your fucking room.
Yeah. Both my parents worked in politics. My parents were really, 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 to a flaw, work-obsessed people.
Right.
And by the time I came around, they were like, whatever. Youngest of three.
Wow.
And my brother's 11 years older than me. Wow. So, like, I got to do whatever I wanted.
Yeah, make sure she has some food. And
right.
That's it. Yeah.
And I was a very angsty, emotional teenager. Mm-hmm. And someone that felt like I kind of like what you're saying, you're not a kid that lives in another time fully. I was. Mm-hmm. I was like, in my mind, I was like, I am living in like, I'm just listening to Zeppelin and like, I'm listening to like whatever. Like, and I would go through these phases, these different musical phases, which really defined much of my identity. Anyway. Yeah. Did my parents ever apologize? No. My mom was also like an alcoholic when I was a child and got sober my freshman year of high school.
Wow.
My dad was very like, you know, bless him. And my dad's alive. So my mom's dead, all to say.
Right.
I think if my mom were still alive, she would probably have apologized for some things. Mm-hmm. I think.
Especially if she was still sober.
Yes, she
was. You go through the 12 steps, you apologize.
Yeah. And I think something that my mom did apologize for was like, she was so hard on herself and so, like, intense with herself that really rubbed off on, especially mm-hmm. me and my sister.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And like, I found myself being hard on myself mm-hmm. because that was kind of what I inherited through her.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And like the way that I can talk to myself is crazy. Like, I would never say that to my friends or anyone I loved. So I think that,
So that's the way my brother and I are with each other.
Yeah.
You're like, how close is your relationship? I'm like, it's so close.
Yeah.
That the things that you would only say to yourself, we say to each other.
Well, twins is really intense.
That's intense.
Yeah. Sometimes we're in the car and I'm like, have you told Uncle Jay that you love him?
Yeah, I know.
Like,
he
knows. Have you hugged him?
He knows. Have I told myself that I love myself?
Can you hug each other? Yeah.
Have I hugged myself? No.
I think.
Hug yourself.
You know, my parents, as flawed as they were, I also, like, did have great parents. They always wanted my sister and I to be, like, independent thinkers, ask a bunch of questions, not really give a fuck. My mom would always tell me that high schoolers are lemmings running off the same cliff mm-hmm. and that I should just focus on myself, kind mm-hmm. of, you know.
Yes.
So
great.
I think,
good advice.
Yeah, so it's, like, just.
It was more of a figure it out. I mean, there's times where I feel like we're around these kids way too much.
Right.
Like, we're in
Well, especially with COVID.
And just in their business way too much. Like, we're just around all the time. And so I'm trying to be conscious of that.
Okay. I have to wrap this podcast up.
So fun.
So very quickly, what did you wear to prom? And did you go to prom?
So I went to prom several years.
Of course. Like, that does not shock me.
Because we were cool.
Yeah, because you're cool and funny and smart.
I loved the prom. The prom was great. And I went. Sophomore, junior, and senior, maybe.
Whoa.
Because I went with a junior in my sophomore year. Then
of course.
Player's going to play.
Player's got to play. Older women. And then I think junior year I went with a senior. And then I think senior year I went with a teacher. Just kidding. I just kept bumping it up.
Yeah.
Just kidding. It was the principal.
Just kidding. It was the principal. Just kidding. Just kidding. The superintendent.
Yeah.
I just keep going. And so I can just tell you one of the outfits that I wore.
Give me your favorite.
So I wore a tux with tails.
I love that.
A teal cummerbund.
Beautiful.
Black tux with tails, teal cummerbund, and teal bow tie.
Beautiful.
And I'm going to say it. I looked like I was at any point, if there was a piano bench, I would sit down and flip my tails up behind
yes.
it. And if I could play piano, I would start playing. But I definitely felt like I was like part of the St. Louis Symphony.
Oh my God. I love that.
So I was like, why did I need tails?
That
because
was
such
you
did. A ballsy thing in St. Louis. So I wore the teal. And there were other people.
Did your brother wear tails too?
Yes, he wore tails too. And I think he had like a red tie. We're like, we're going to go and rent it from Mr. Tuxedo. Like, everything in St. Louis is like Mr. Yeah. Tuxedo. When at our bar mitzvah, it was like Mr. DJ. I'm like, you can get more creative than that.
I love Mr. DJ.
Mr. DJ was fantastic.
And I love that.
He probably lived in his van.
Yes, and offered turkey legs.
Why is there a sock next to this piece of equipment? Oh, because that's where I put all my dirty underwear.
Do you have prom?
I have prom, but it's just a senior prom, so it's in April.
Oh, my God, and it's going to be your first one.
It's my first prom,
Do you know what you want to wear?
I don't know because they haven't released the theme.
Oh.
But there's been talk of the theme being something that I don't personally agree with.
Oh,
which
boy.
Is,
what is it?
They want to theme it Met Gala, except that my argument is that Met Gala isn't a theme because
it's not
the
a
Met
theme.
Galas have
a
themes.
Theme.
So you can't themes...
I think Met Gala is just like, just go nuts.
Well, but then it should just be like, I think they should theme it Met Gala Camp. And then everyone come, because my school could do it. I mean, kids could come in the most
Met
crazy
Gala Camp.
You should, for the prom you should just
theme.
Be like,
very
look,
good.
I love this idea. Let's just make it.
Yes.
So you need to approach them by saying, this is the
well,
best
yeah. so
idea.
So we have to find out. We have,
I love this
I
idea.
I love this idea.
You're great.
One little thing.
Let's just throw this word on the end and it might help people a little
it will.
Bit more.
But I don't know what the theme is actually going to be. But it's exciting because prom is an exciting
she gets
thing.
Your hair did.
Are you going to ask your girlfriend?
Yes.
Are you going to do a promposal?
I don't.
Is that a thing?
I'm...
Are
I
you
mean,
anti?
I'm kind of anti the big, like, I get really Like, I would never want to be proposed to in public.
I'm going to call the scoreboard at the Staples Center, and she's not going to do it. She's not going to do it. Tell the Clippers it's not happening.
Like, I would never want to be proposed to in public. Like, or big promposal. Like, that's not my thing. But I probably, the plan is that I'm going to go to my girlfriend's prom, and then she's going to go to my prom. So we'll just kind of, like.
It sounds very, like, egalitarian.
Question is, are you going to tell Nana about it?
Who knows? It'll be interesting.
Is Nana okay with it?
I don't know.
We haven't talked about
it. We haven't talked about it, but I don't know.
I think Nana's going to be okay.
But, like, you know, it's. I feel like Daisy, I mean, you said it doesn't matter who, you know.
Yeah.
You kind of swing it all ways. And she may end. We don't know where she's going to land.
Yeah.
I think that concept is harder for like an older person to understand.
Yeah, I was going to say, I think the thing with older people, you just got to tell them and they're going to feel whatever they're going to feel.
Like,
and
yeah.
Just be like, this is my friend and she doesn't have to know anymore.
Exactly.
But I mean, who knows? But the plan is, I think, to go to both rounds, and my girlfriend goes to is Jewish, but goes to an all-girls Catholic private school. So it's going
to
be
go to Marlboro?
No.
Oh.
So it's going to be two very different proms.
Got it.
Which will be interesting. I went to the
girl proms.
I know. I went to the winter.
I mean, ironically, she'll take communion at both.
Yeah.
Met Gala camp.
Met Gala camp. But I went to the winter dance and it was the most insane. I was like, it's professionally catered. My winter dance was like out. My Halloween dance was like outside underneath the cafeteria.
Like Southwest Airlines, they just threw a bunch of brags of pretzels and like, you get them.
Yeah,
you get it.
Have it.
Well, that'll be so fun.
Yeah.
Please
exciting.
Let us know what you end up wearing.
Yeah,
I will
come back on
follow her on Instagram.
I'm gonna follow you on Instagram, and they're gonna be like, "Who's this weird girl following you on Instagram?"
Greta with one T.
Greta with one T. If you could give your high school self any advice, what would it be?
Don't get overly emotional about the things that you're getting overly emotional. I wasted a lot of energy, like when I lost girlfriends things didn't happen my way, and I was like super mad and super. And I feel like what I've realized later in life is that, and it took the help of a psychic. I did talk to a psychic someone gave me a psychic for my 50th birthday. And I went into the conversation, not to make this longer, I'm sorry, you guys, but I went into the conversation saying, like, listen, I don't believe in anything that you're about to do. However, I have an open mind. And if you say something that blows my mind, I'm going to give it to you.
Yeah.
I was like, I'm being open-minded about this, but I'm a skeptical person. I'm a comedian. I'm supposed to question these things. I didn't even say I'm a comedian. I didn't want to give her that.
You know that off air, I'll tell you all about my psychic dalliances.
So I was like, this is my first time I've ever done it. And she said something really important to me that I was like, I took this. I was like, wow. She said, you were put on this earth. I'll do two things that she said that it relates to us. You were put on this earth and your main function is to have fun and enjoy yourself. Now, I don't say that to everybody. This is what's coming through, what the spirits are telling me. And I was like, okay. And she was like, but if you get involved in something that brings you down work-wise or otherwise, you got to get out of it because it will have real health ramifications, i.e. if you did a job you didn't want to do for a long time, you'll get cancer and die, is what she kind of said. And I was like, that is very true, because when I get stuck in things – and I realize I am here to have fun. I am here to just have a blast. And like, yes, you have responsibilities and yes, you have things to do. But I know that I have to be truthful to myself to get out of whatever mood I'm in and get into another mood, because it has real health ramifications for me. And I believe that. And I didn't understand that in high school. And I wish I could tell myself that.
Yeah.
Because I would say to myself, all the things that you do right now that you really love – you will then be able to convert that into a life and a career that will go to people larger than your circle of what it is. So just relax and have fun. Wish I could say that to myself now about what's going on in the future, but like, that's that. And the last thing she said to me, the other thing the psychic said to me, is that I gave her my daughter's name, and she was like, you were in a previous life with this kid.
As circus performers.
You were circus performers in a previous life. And you guys were best friends. Best friends. The best of friends. You were so close that your subconscious pulled her into this life with you. so that you could spend more time together and be in another life together. That's how close you were. And I was like, okay, I've always said that she could, if she was a person who was around when I was in high school, we would have been friends.
And also, it is the energy between you guys.
So I was like, maybe she got that.
Did you speak to an Israeli psychic by any chance?
No, there's this woman, Lisa, in Phoenix.
My psychic told me to rest, but make sure that I'm not just sleeping, but that I'm resting.
You have a psychic too?
One of my best friends had a birthday party where there was just a psychic.
Great call at a birthday, at a kid's birthday party, a psychic? Are you kidding me?
I was like, yeah. And I went in and she was like, do you feel like you sleep but don't rest? And she was like, you need to do that. And I was like, and I've just been trying to take that.
Yeah. I was banned from seeing psychics when I was your age because my grandmother is Sicilian and she had a psychic tell her that her brother was going to die in a year and
what?
He did.
No! Yeah.
So then it was like a whole superstition in my family, like, don't do it, don't do it. And then, of course, after my mom died, I became addicted.
Of course.
Yeah. I was like, someone please tell me the meaning of life.
I may be done, but I thought that was like a cool thing.
It is.
Yeah, as a Silver Lake teenager, I've got crystals and I do tarot.
And you must.
Of course.
Of course she does.
And my final question of the podcast was, did you have a senior superlative?
Yes. I mean, my brother and I were both like funniest.
Of course.
Senior. And so like most likely to be, I think we were most likely to be a late night TV talk show host.
That's good.
That was like the superlative. It was actually a really funny one done by the smart group of people.
That's a great one.
Most likely to host a late night comedy show.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh my God, that's amazing. And it kind of came true.
There you go. Do you do that at your high school?
Yeah, but I don't know what it's going to be yet. I don't know what mine, if I'll be one.
Funniest.
You will. You'll be like funniest. Or like most likely to be like a famous.
I famously lost funniest girl in eighth grade and I've never gotten over it. So
Michael Jordan didn't start on his high school basketball team. And when he went into the Hall of Fame, he had the guy who started ahead of him introduce him. I'm like, you don't have any friends on the Chicago Bulls?
That's true.
A little petty, dude. But anyway.
Also, wasn't Tom Brady like a backup quarterback at Michigan?
Back at Michigan and then went on to be the greatest.
There you go.
There you go.
So
wow. Thank you both for coming on my show.
Fun.
It was
Thanks
so much fun to talk to both of you.
Love
you really it. Like, you give me hope for the future.
Thank you.
You make me feel like everyone's going to be so much cooler than me, which, you know, is extremely hard to be.
Some are and some won't. There you go.
And, you know, thank you. Just thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
This is so fun.
Thank you so much for listening to my podcast. Oh, wait. I was just about to say. Yeah, plugs. I was like, I'm so lost.
So we have a podcast called Dumb People Town, which you should totally come and do.
I love being dumb.
So we talk about dumb behavior happening in the world. We, along with our co-hosts, me and Jason and Daniel Van Kirk, do a podcast where we look at the just three of the dumbest stories that happen in the world of dumb, just the regular world, most of them in Florida. and we break them down to try and understand why this happened. Why did the guy who had a 48-year grudge against his wife, who he was only married for 9 months, now does he pee on her grave every day?
Oh,
like,
God.
What are the things in his – he comes with his new wife that's just so weird, but we break into that story.
So
we
fun.
Did that story recently with Rob Corddry. And so we try and break it to understand why this happened. And it's really a fun – that's on All Things Comedy. We do a regular sports podcast called View from the Cheap Seats.
My husband listens.
It's great. And then we have we did a show. So our old show, Cheap Seats, was like Mystery Science Theater with the old weird sporting events. And it just came back last year for the UFC. We did it. It's called The Nosebleeds, where we take a look at the old weird footage from that and make fun of it. And we're waiting to see if we get a second season there.
My podcast. No, I'm just kidding.
I was going to say. And the spring musical.
The spring musical's coming up.
It's something. Rotten.
Something rotten.
Have auditions began?
Yes.
We're in rehearsal.
What's your part?
Oh, I have two roles. I am Shylock, the only Jewish character in the show.
Okay.
A little questionable, but we'll go
okay.
with that.
Okay.
And then I am Lord Clapham, who's like the opposite of Shylock.
Theater
so the idea
nerd,
is it's like a very... It's like the Shakespearean old classic theater idea of one person playing these two very different roles, and that's
anyone listening to this podcast, if you're a creep, don't go to a high school play.
No, but you can.
But my school is famous for having like people. It's like a very We do
Grand Arts. Great.
I'm also assistant director of the show.
So. I'm going to go.
Please come.
Oh, I literally will.
It's a beautiful theater. Huge theater.
We have a huge concert
hall. I one time went to the Crossroads Cabaret.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I was like, what Please the fuck come. Is
this? This is another level. This Insane. Is, it's at Ramon C. Cortina at Rome.
Ramon C. Cortina.
Ramon C. Cortina's High School, also known as Grand Arts, also known as VAPA.
Also known as Number 9.
Number 9. It's at Grand and Sunset. It's that beautiful spiral.
Oh, yeah.
That's where it is.
And we do. We put on really good shows. There's Little Shop will happen in May. It's
okay,
like, hey, so
shout out. If you're looking for some theater,
Something
come on.
Rotten
Honestly, probably the best theater you can see in L.A.
Yeah.
I'm being serious.
Kids just doing it.
Because it's really talented kids.
Oh, yeah, very talented. With an orchestra.
Well, thank you so much for listening. Please, you know, if you haven't subscribed, please subscribe and give me 5 stars and only write positive reviews because positivity is what makes the world go round. And as I say every week, stay cool, never change. Until next time, ciao.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.